From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's Wednesday, the 25th of February, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the president has called for an end to subsidies to some farmers. A proposed funding increase for the CFTC has been called a big first step towards greater regulatory oversight. And the Renewable Fuels Association, or RFA, is trying to put a positive spin on a bad financial situation. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And then Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will tell us all about the agricultural weather forecast as we finish up this edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon. Futures from the nearby wheat contract for the soft red at 9.5 cents higher, settled at 524.75 for the March. May at 535.75, 9.5 higher as well. And the harvest month July up 9 at 547.5. Kansas City wheat settled the March contract 12.75 higher for the hard red at 566. March corn futures 363.75 up 9.5 cents. The May at 372.25 up 9.25, and July futures at 382 up 9.5 cents for the day. September at 390.75 up 9.25, and December contract at 403.75, 9.5 cents higher. March oat futures at $1.81.5 up 4.5 cents, and the May up 4.5 at 191. Soy complex March beans 878 down 3. May futures 3.5 lower at 880. July at 885, 3.5 lower. And the August beans at 877 down 3.5. September down 2 at 852. And November beans at 838 down 2 cents. March bean meal at 272.80 down 60. March bean oil $1.39 higher at 31.90 on the afternoon. Here's what the numbers from the CME Group's livestock side look like as they finished up. February live cattle at 81.95 down 25 cents. March feeders at 90.60 down 15. And the lean hogs finished the April at 59.10, $1.40 lower. You're listening, or rather higher, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are trading at $42.50 a barrel, $2.54 higher. May at $44.66, up $1.90. March ethanol, $157.07, 3.2 higher. Natural gas at $4.04, up 19, or rather down 19.6 cents. RBOB gasoline at $1.17, 8.6 higher, and the diesel fuel heating oil at $1.24, 3.1 higher for the day. Propane futures up as well, just about 0.7 cents to settle at 62.8, and the gold futures at $965.70 an ounce, down $3.40. The Dow at 73.27, now 23 points lower. The dollar at 87.90 is up 1.13, and the CRB index is currently trading at 208.32. That's up 4.49 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance of a few showers, especially in northern and central Indiana. Lows will range from 25 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 48 in the south. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, periods of rain, a few thunderstorms arriving in northern and central sections. Highs will range tomorrow from 38 in northwestern Illinois to near 70 in the far south. The extended forecast says colder air will plow back into the two-state area during the day Thursday and remain in place until the middle of next week. The coldest days will be Sunday and Monday, with below freezing highs in northern and some central locations on both of those days. Locally, heavy rainfall possible Thursday and early Friday as the cold front works across the area. We'll get a complete look at the forecast at the bottom of the hour when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. The 2009 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting may be our best ever. Featured analysts include Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises, ADM Chief Economist Perry Dixon, Westchester CEO Murray Wise, Bob Bastifer of First Midwest Bank, U of I Agricultural Economist Gary Schnicke, and WILL Meteorologist Ed Kieser. That's March 12th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Full details are on our website at WILLAG.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting. The Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Did you watch the president last night?
Yes, I did.
And what'd you think?
Well, it came across as very popular. Wall Street probably gave him a little lower grade than the populace did.
They don't like the regulations.
Well, we don't like health care, and we don't like taxes, and we don't like a lot of things that are left undone as far as getting the economy going again. Bernanke really saved Wall Street's yesterday and again today, and we are seeing the market go up. Some of the commentators say that it was very soothing. It was in the footsteps of Franklin Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan as one of some of the greatest speeches in the modern history. But the report card that a lot of us are watching on a minute-by-minute deal is the stock market. It is higher at the present time, and hopefully we'll be gaining strength as we go into the later part of the day.
Yeah, I wondered at least if those of us in the media might need to dismiss what's happening in Wall Street just because they wouldn't be very happy about the regulations that will be coming down the pike from the Democratic side of the aisle. I think
well,
it's safe enough to say that. But then if we could talk about the other things that, unless you want to go on with that
no,
one.
No, I was going to say that, you know, one of the things that wealth in this country isn't a dirty word.
That's right.
And, you know, there a lot of people do have 401ks and have retirement programs with the state of Illinois and people like that. And, you know, a good stock market helps calm down a lot of jitters.
Yeah, I was just thinking that with the regulatory functions that they would not be happy about that, so that if the market were to move based off their unhappiness on the regulations, that the media might want to dismiss some of that, not to dismiss the marketplace at all, certainly. And then let's talk about the other things that were directly related to agriculture, of course, energy and ethanol, and then the carbon and what he expected to do in limiting carbon output probably means there might be something in the future for producers and landowners, and, of course, we already have the Chicago Carbon Exchange, so there might be something in the marketplace for farmers and landowners in the future on that one, too.
Yeah, at our corporate meeting in Chicago, people are very excited about trading carbon, and I think it is a big factor. I really am more impressed with the rumors today, too, of higher blends on ethanol, the rallies of in the crude oil market today, and the general short covering in the corn and wheat markets today. It was really significant that we did see the rally as significant it is. People were pointing their finger at the weather, dryness in the winter wheat growing areas of the West. They were also basically looking at the end of the month, maybe short covering rallies. Some of the biggest bearish advisory services in the farm sector were even talking about covering some of their short positions in corn today. So it did add up to a very interesting commodity trade.
Yeah, does this mean that you're feeling that the bottom is near, if not at hand, for the commodity markets, at least
well,
for the short term?
Well, I want to go... And I'm really basing a lot of the weakness in the commodities over to the stock market.
Right.
And, you know, anytime it starts looking like it's going to 7,000, or there's major problems or misunderstandings and a lack of clarity coming in from Washington, it does hurt the commodity market a great deal. It has been brought to the market's attention that the Chinese do have a tremendous pile of money, and they will probably come out of this world recession quicker than anybody else. And they do have some big livestock numbers. They were buying vegetable oils and soybean oil overnight in a big fashion. And the rumor is they sold some beans back to the market, and they also bought some back. And I bet they made money on those trades.
Hey, I've got another thing to talk to you about, because in just a little less than 2 weeks now, we'll all be over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on the 10th day of March. And Dave Dickey here has done a great job of putting together a program. It includes Murray Weiss of the Westchester Group. He'll be talking about land values. We'll take up production costs with Bob Baisdever. He's the Senior Vice President of Commercial and Ag Business and Banking for First Midwest Bank out of Danville. And Perry Dixon, who's ADM's economist, will be there out of Decatur, Illinois. I think it'll be a good day. Of course, you'll be there, too, in one of the sessions in the afternoon.
Yeah, I really think the blue ribbon panel there of Dixon, Wise, and the gentleman with First Midwest is, you know, just what the doctor needs to give us at least, you know, Perry's traveled the world, done extensive studies on the valuation of land, where production agriculture is going, ethanol, and the business of feeding the world. And, you know, he's a very bright economist, and I have a lot of respect for him.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Thanks much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That one happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, here at the Closing Market Report, we stay very busy trying to make sure that you get all the information you can from us in a lot of different ways. You can always go to our website at willag.org. Pick up the programming there as an MP3 file. Play it off the website. You can hear it later if you want as a podcast. It'll come to your computer automatically, or you can listen to a portion of it on the telephone. Just dial this number, 1-217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. Don't forget, while you're at website at willag.org, to sign up for our weekend newsletter and to check out that all-day Ag Outlook to be hosted on the 10th of March. It's a Tuesday over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take you through all the agricultural news for Wednesday afternoon.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama, in his first speech to Congress yesterday evening, said subsidies to multi-million dollar farms are wasteful and called for an end to them. He did not say how much money would be saved by the step or how it would be structured. The proposal, however, echoed a leading point from his presidential campaign. In remarks prepared for Congress, Obama said the White House has identified $2 trillion in wasteful and ineffective spending, including unneeded direct payments to large farms. Financial experts say a proposed funding increase for the embattled regulatory agency in charge of monitoring the U.S. futures markets would be a big first step toward beefing up regulatory oversight and increasing its skeleton staffing. The multi-billion dollar spending package unveiled by Democrats would increase the Commodity Futures Trading Commission's budget for fiscal year 2009 by $35 million to $146 million total. The fiscal year ends on September 30th. Much of the funding increase for the CFTC in the near term will likely go towards increasing staff in order to bolster enforcement, surveillance, and oversight. Renewable Fuels Association President Bob Dineen says the state of the ethanol industry is decidedly different than it was just months ago. But he adds, despite the tough economic times, the ethanol industry will emerge better for it. Dineen says the ethanol industry continues to grow, with 21 plants under construction, including the world's first commercial-scale cellulosic ethanol plant. Stephen Roach, chairman of Morgan Stanley's Asian operation, suggests that China could become, quote, a net contributor to global expansion. China is sitting atop a $2 trillion mountain of uncommitted cash. Analysts who follow China's economic and business trends also point out that unlike the United States and a number of other Western countries, China's banks are not currently burdened with nearly the volume of toxic assets and bad loans. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you that in less than 2 weeks, our all-day ag outlook is scheduled for the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. It's just on the other side of the border on I-74. Take exit 4. And the Beef House is right there. It should be a really great program. You can read all about it on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. $16 for a day's worth of great commodity markets analysis at the Beef House on the 10th day of March. Just a little less than 2 weeks away now. Up next, in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus discusses renewable energy.
President Obama and the 111th Congress are setting up shop in Washington, and farmers across the nation are revving up for what will be a major component of the next administration, a renewed focus on renewable energy. Farmers should expect to ramp up our efforts to provide clean, green energy to fuel the country. Farmers have long been proponents and suppliers of renewable fuels. It is Farm Bureau's belief that America must transition to a nation fueled by clean, renewable domestic energy to achieve long-term economic growth, create a cleaner environment, and shield our economy from unreliable foreign energy sources. With the same goal in mind, President Obama has said he will strive to create $5 million in green-collar jobs during his transition, which means growing jobs at home. U.S. ethanol production already accounts for 250,000 homegrown jobs, and that number is growing, but it doesn't stop there. Cellulosic ethanol is the next worthy target. Until efficiency improves, incentives may be necessary to encourage production and handling of the cellulosic crops that drive this promising sector. Current reports indicate that grain-based ethanol continues to own a comparative economic advantage over second-generation cellulosic biofuels. America's enterprising farmers will do what they can to move this notion to commercial reality. Farm Bureau supported passage of the Renewable Fuel Standard. That measure transitions our domestic fuel supply to non-petroleum-based biofuels. It also provides a federal commitment to conservation and energy efficiency, as well as the targeted, responsible domestic production of a broad array of energy resources. Although passed, some provisions in the bill still need to be implemented. Meanwhile, Farm Bureau will continue to advocate for more access to our domestic oil and natural gas supplies. Access to offshore drilling would open up areas as close as 3 miles off the Atlantic and Pacific coasts and part of the Gulf of Mexico. The more than 20-year congressional ban on offshore drilling was not extended in the last Congress, which means we are one step closer to furthering oil exploration in our own country. Focusing on clean and green renewable energy not only provides jobs for more Americans, but also a greater degree of energy independence. All forms of renewable energy, including wind, solar, and others, represent a long-term investment in the American way of life. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number is 217-333-0850.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. The 2009 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting may be our best ever. Featured analysts include Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises, ADM Chief Economist Perry Dixon, Westchester CEO Murray Wise, Bob Bastifer of First Midwest Bank, U of I Agricultural Economist Gary Schnicke, and WILL Meteorologist Ed Kieser. That's March 12th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Full details are on our website at WILLAG.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting. The Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities.
Speaking of the Andersons, we're now joined by Scott Butcher. He's up at the Delphi Climbers Facility in Indiana to talk to us today about the cash grain market on a Wednesday afternoon. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for being with us. You know, Matt Blaisdell, who we talk to usually, is pretty hard to track down. He's been out of your office for a long time. We found him here in Champaign County, but I guess he's off for the day after traveling so much, huh?
Yeah, he's very elusive, Todd.
On the air and off both. Hey, tell me about the marketplace up there, please.
Well, things have started to pick up a little bit in our area. We have, of course, like everybody else, with flat price being as cheap as it has been, things have been slow for a while, and we're now starting to see a little bit of movement, but, still not nearly what we would like to see.
Well, nearly what you like to see. Are you going to be bidding up prices, and do you think that you'll have strong cash basis for a while yet?
Yeah, I think basis is going to stay strong. I mean, definitely, you look like, if you look at the March, April, May time frame, as guys start to, get closer and closer to, working in the field, basis is going to stay strong.
All right, so this means you're going to have to book your needs a couple of months in front of that time frame when they're in the field and can't really move corn for you.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now, just, what's going to be the solution to that problem.
Now, we talked earlier to an analyst. He sort of thought that maybe we're turning the corner on the bottom of the marketplace. Do you think that's right, too?
Yeah, it sure feels like it. I think if the outside economy would, get any kind of direction at all, the marketplace would follow along.
And if you look across the grains in the Midwest, if you look across that Corn Belt, is there any place that you think is stronger than others? I mean, earlier in the year, it was the eastern part of the Corn Belt. Is that still the case, is the question?
It sure seems like it, yeah. I mean, if you look at the eastern part of Indiana right now, 30 to 40 over is over the March has been trading recently, and that's, very strong for, any marketplace.
Why is that the case in that part of the world?
Well, I think, demand, obviously, with, several different ethanol plants, as well as, you've got a really good feeder market in eastern Indiana and western Ohio. So there's, a lot of reasons right now.
Scott, do you happen to have your bids for the day there with you or not?
Yeah, I do.
And they are?
Our bids are, we would be 9 over the March at Delphi, 8 over the March at Climbers, and soybeans were 2 under the March.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, where they have both an elevator and an ethanol plant. Joins us on a closing mark report right here on a Wednesday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's St. Walburga Day. The nun was an English missionary to the Frankish Empire. She died on this date in 779 and was canonized on May 1st of 870. She is known as the patron of crops. It's also International Clam Chowder Festival Day and National Chocolate-Covered Peanuts Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1904, Adele Davis was born. She was a nutritionist and author of Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit. The book created a firestorm in the medical community, where doctors found on average one mistake per page. In 1918, on this date, wartime food rationing began in parts of England. The rationing was in response to German U-boats that were sinking imports of food. By the time rationing began, parts of England had just 6 weeks of food on hand. In 1922, Donald MacLean was born. MacLean was a Scottish potato expert who had one of the world's largest private collections of potatoes with 367 varieties. The potato revolution was credited to McLean. He spent his life making the public aware of the innate diversity of potatoes, including cooking quality, pest and disease resistance, flavor, and appearance. And in 1934, Elizabeth Gertrude Knight Britton died. An American botanist, she helped establish the New York Botanical Gardens. Britton published more than 350 papers, including more than 170 on mosses. And that's this date in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We always check the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner out of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He's with us today. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest.
Well, it looks like we're going to take a little bit of a break from the cool weather, but it only lasts for a brief moment or two, actually. We're going to see a reinforcing shot of colder air coming out of Canada through the northwestern part of the Corn Belt on Thursday, and then come roaring across the heart of the Midwest Friday into Saturday. So more cooler than usual conditions coming back across the region once again, and a fairly vigorous storm system to precede the colder air. Now, this low pressure system is likely to generate a lot of rain and snow. The snowfall will probably be most significant in the northwestern portion of the Corn Belt, including Minnesota, Wisconsin, a portion of the eastern Dakotas, possibly reaching down to parts of Iowa. But when the storm comes into Illinois and Indiana, it's going to be mostly a rain and thunderstorm event, and then we're going to find some potential for a little bit of snowfall coming at the very end of the storm system. Again, it'll be cooler as we go into the weekend, or at least the end of the weekend into the weekend, and then we'll set the stage for a second surge of colder air coming down as we go through the latter part of the weekend into early next week. So we've got several days of chillier weather coming up here, and not a lot of precipitation after we're done with this event here on Friday. The next chance for a significant amount of precipitation will probably evolve towards the early part of next week as a little warm front temporarily comes across the region, but there's yet another cool air mass coming in behind that. So the first half of March is probably going to have a little bit of a cooler bias, and then we'll see some warmer weather in the latter half of the month.
So, Drew, any expectation that first wave will be violent at all? It is that time of year.
It is that time of the year, and we do have a considerable amount of instability showing up in the southern half of the country with a lot of very warm temperatures. In fact, tomorrow afternoon it'll probably be in the 80s and some 90s in the southern plains, and in contrast, it'll only be in the single digits and teens across the North Dakota and northern Minnesota area. So, yeah, I think we are setting the stage for some violent thunderstorms. I don't think that we'll necessarily see a solid line of them, but I think some of the storms that occur from Missouri into Illinois could very well become quite intense.
South America had a rough growing season to begin with and for a good portion of that season, but it sounds like they're ending up much better than they had started.
Absolutely. Certainly the soybean crop in Argentina is perking along fairly well. We've lost a little bit of the bean yield, but it's nowhere near the damage that was done to the corn crop across Argentina. I think the general consensus is still about a 40% loss for corn production across that country. And there's still some of the corn that's produced in the south that is still reproducing, and it's still struggling with moisture, so it's not completely a done deal. Some of the second double-cropped soybeans in the south, mostly in Buenos Aires, are also suffering a little bit of moisture stress right now, and that's going to continue until we can get a better generalized soaking to take place. But for the most part, the heart of those soybean production areas in Argentina are doing much better and will continue to do so with timely rains expected all the way through the middle part of March.
We'll talk with you again next Wednesday.
Take care.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Wednesday, just a bit less than 2 weeks away now from our all-day ag outlook. You can find out about it on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.